जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवर धारी गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवर धारी पिजन वाला गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीर बन छारी जमुना तीर बन छारी बना चार राधा मधावा कुंज बिहारी माधवा जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमाधि सेवाइंग ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमाधि सेवाइंग ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडराचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमन भागवत की निताय गौर प्रेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू शिशि गुरु अंशि गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Soman Bonon, Chapter 11, the Childhood Pastimes of Lord Krishna, Text 43 and 44. गृहीत्वा पारपादाभ्यं सहालंगूलं आच्युता ब्रह्मजीत्वा कपित्वारे Brahmajitva kapithagre prahinot gata jivitam sakapithair mahakaya patyamanai patapapataha grihitva parapadabhyam sahalangulam achyuta brahmajitva kapithagre prahino gata jivitam sakapithair mahakaya patyamanai papataha grihitva parapadabhyam sahalangulan achyuta brahmajitva kapithagre prahinod gata jivitam sakapithair mahakaya patyamanai patataha. Please chant. Grihitva parapadabhyam sahalangulam achyuta brahmajitva kapithagre prahinod gata jivitam sakapithair mahapukhaya patyamanai papataha grihitva padapadabhyam sahalangulam achyuta brahmajitva kapithagre prahinod gata jivitam sakapithair mahakaya patyamanai papataha grihitva capturing apadapadabhyam with the hind legs hind legs saha along with langulam the tail achyutaha Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmajitva, twirling around very severely. Kapita agre, on the top of a kapita tree. Prahinod, through him. Gata jivitam. Lifeless body, saha, that demon, kapitai, with the kapita tree, mahakayaha, assume a great body, pratyamanai, while the tree fell down, papataha, he fell dead on the ground. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thereafter, Sri Krishna cut the demon by the hind legs and tail. twirled the demon's whole body very strongly until the demon was dead, and threw him into the top of a kapita tree, which then fell down alone with the body of the demon, who assumed a great form. Purport. Krishna killed the demon in such a way as to get the kapita fruits to fall, so that he and Balaram and the other boys could take advantage of the opportunity to eat them. The kapita is sometimes called Shatbhelpala. The pull of this fruit is very palatable. It is sweet and sour, and everyone likes it. Text 44. Tanbiksha bishmita bhala samsam su sadhu sadviti devascha parishantushta babhubhu pushpabarshinaha. Translation. Upon seeing the dead body of the demon, all the Kaihar boys exclaimed, quote, "Well done, Krishna! Very good, very good! Thank you!" End of quote. In the upper planetary system, all the demigods were pleased, and therefore they showered flowers on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Namapada Swami Iti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyabadi Pashatyade Shatarine Vanchakalpataruvyasya kripasinduvyayavacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Anyone had this kapita fruit before? No. I'm looking at here and it looks at this kapita fruit is a round fruit, and then inside has some sort of a pulp. Because sometimes they call limonia acidissima. So it's not a lemon, exactly. It's citric. Limonia acidissima. Let me see if they have it. Limonia acidissima is the only species with the monotypic genus, Limonia. Common names for the species in English include wood apple or elephant apple. That still remains not very common here. Description. Limonia acidissima is a large tree growing to 9 meters, 30 feet tall, so it's a large tree, with broad spiny bark. The leaves are pinnate. With 5 to 7 leaflets. The flowers are white and have, well, blah, 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 blah. So there's a description. Okay, the fruit looks similar to the bell fruit. And it contains a considerable amount of protein, carbohydrates, ferrous fat, calcium, vitamin B and C. And then there's a glass of wood apple juice. So, you ever had wood apple juice, Jitendra Prabhu? You ever have wood apple? Wood apple. So anyway, that fruit was very desirable. And Krishna and the cowherd boys enjoy the fruit when Krishna, by killing the demons, is quite something, because he is killing this terrible demon who was disguised as a calf, dangerous demon, that although externally appears as a calf, it has this gigantic form and very fearsome form. So he's killing this terrible demon very easily, just swirling him very, very strongly by the legs and the tail, until the demon just loses life. And then, oh, so in the process of doing this, let me take advantage of this action and get the fruits for me and my friends. So he knocked the tree down and the fruits down, and then they start to enjoy this nice fruit. So that is Krishna's wonderful pastimes. It's just having fun, even killing demons. He finds, to enjoy these pastimes. Ananda Maya Vyasat. So I wanted to take some time to go a little deeper into this concept that Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur developed into what each demon killed by Krishna represents with the anarthas that we have in the heart. So this anartha of childish mentality that can lead us to take bad association or be victimized by bad association, how that we have to be aware of that demon or that anartha, and how Krishna will kill that demon, or the princess of Krishna will kill that demon. So yesterday we spoke a little bit about it, and this childish mentality means that there is no sense of discrimination, or it's a very immature sense of discrimination, underdeveloped sense of discrimination. And so when it comes to devotees, when we are in the neophyte stage, that's one of the qualities, or that's one of the characteristics of the neophyte stage of devotional service. And many of the devotees, we find ourselves in that bracket of devotional service, neophyte. Any devotee who is struggling with the upside downs of material desires and devotional desires, this roller coaster, that is a symptom of being in the Kanishta Adhikari or neophyte stage of devotional service. When one comes to be in a steady platform, the Nishta, that is when one starts to function in the Madhyama platform, on the Madhyama Adhikari platform. The Madhyama Adhikari means that 75% of the unwanted things within the heart has been eliminated. And that's a substantial amount of unwanted condition desires in the In can you ask her to sit in the chair outside? That is a substantial amount of work, internal work that one have to grow or go through. So we know as devotee how hard or how much work we have to do to deal with our material condition and with our unwanted things within the heart, the anarthas. We know how hard it is to get rid of some of the anarthas, because the experience of many of us is that for years we go on working on a particular anatta, and still, you know, it doesn't go away necessarily so easy. So it's a hard work, it's a lot of work. Internal work, sometimes very painful work. And to reach this 75% is quite an achievement. And it's an achievement that is rewarded by Krishna giving the devotee the capacity of now start to experience the nectar of devotional service. So much that in that platform of Madhyama, devotion becomes steady. So you are very well situated in the platform of devotional service. It is not easy for you to fall down. It is possible, but not very easy to fall down. So, in the Kanishtha Adhikari, the characteristic is that we have very poor capacity of discrimination. In the Madhyama Adhikari, the characteristic is now you have the capacity to discriminate. So the characteristic of the Madhyama Adhikari is he can discriminate, he or she can discriminate on who is a devotee, who is innocent, and who is demoniac. And you're able to, according to that discrimination, deal or have relate to these different types of the persons. In the Kanishtha Adhikari, there is not such a thing of proper discrimination. So, in the Kanishtha Adhikari, we're infected with this demon, this Vatsa Asura demon, the childish mentality in which we can be, we're vulnerable to be victimized by a bad association. And in general, is again because of this lack of proper discrimination. And one of the characteristics of the Kanishtha Adhikari is that also one has certain false conception of self. So the false ego is very prominent, and one feels pretty much secure, or there's this what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti defines as false confidence. There's this particular false confidence that, yeah, I have some understanding now. You know, I'm studying Prabhupada's book, so I have some understanding. And then this false confidence, you know, I have confidence that I have the right read of the particular circumstance of particular people. But we have to be very watchful on this on this anartha. Therefore, throughout our growth in devotional service, but especially when we are in the Kanishta Adhikari platform, we're depending on guidance from advanced devotees. We're depending on that guidance. So, therefore, the education that we receive as we come to the temple is a cultivation of this Pratiprasnena Sevaya, of sort of respect to authority and acceptance of authority and the following and of instructions, and also the service attitude. So through the spiritual master we receive that training. The spiritual master gives us our particular duty, swadharma. Prabhupada explains, he gives us two different types of duties. Duties according to our particular nature and duties according to our spiritual development. So we receive sadhana bhakti, our spiritual practice, and we receive also a service within the community of devotees and in many situations according to our particular nature. And the instruction of the spiritual master is that we serve a particular structure or within times of Vedic time is the Gurukula, the house of the spiritual master. In the present time that applies to us is this ISKCON institution, which is Srila Prabhupada's house. So there is a particular structure that we follow as per the orders of our spiritual master. And if we don't have a particular spiritual master, through the orders of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada established this system. So the training that we receive is that we have to be guided by the spiritual master and the spiritual master instructions. So we have to be watchful. So that's how Krishna protects us. Krishna's protection and Krishna's presence and Krishna's capacity to take, to get rid, or not his capacity, but Krishna's, that we allow Krishna to basically destroy those demons is within that the mercy of the spiritual master and the spiritual master instructions. So in the case that we find ourselves that in many situations we are vulnerable to this particular sentimental approach of dealing with others, especially when we see, you know, signs, you know, people like in the case of Vatsasura, he disguised himself as one of Krishna's associates, you know, the calf. So very innocent, and as innocent as the other calves, and part of Krishna's cows. Yeah, so he was caring for these cows. So similarly, sometimes we see that when they are in the community of devotees, there may be situations in which we see that persons with some other motivations or with a particular circumstance that is sort of more on the dark side comes, and the devotees, you know, just because of the externals are not able to make proper discrimination. And when we have this childish mentality, then the situation is that no, we're very stubborn, we know what we're doing. In general, we see that in our lives as teenagers. Our parents say, don't do that. Adults say, you know, people with more experience say, just don't do that. You know, don't get into trouble like this and that. And you say, you know, I'm fine, there's no problem. And then we do a lot of foolish things that, you know, sometimes they're very dangerous. I mean, you think about it. If you think some of the things that you did when you were young, that your parents were telling you and your adults were telling you, you know, warning you, and, you know, you did really, really stupid things that could kill you very easily. I can think of so many situations that were so dangerous. There was one time that after some big parties, you know, a whole bunch of friends and myself, we decided we're going to this beach and we have to cross the mountains. And then the problem with intoxication and all the thing, you go driving, and the driver was one of my friends who was completely intoxicated, and then we landed driving this mountain road that when you look on the other side there's a cliff. And then this guy, intoxicated, driving like that into the beach. And of course, at one point, he missed something and he went straight. And we were lucky that a big stone, boom, stopped the car. And the cliff was, you know, down there. These are some of the stupid things that kids do, because we're on the top of the world. You know, we're enjoying, we know how to enjoy. These boring people, adults, they just so square that they don't know what they're doing. They're just suffering. We're enjoying. And so we do things with very poor discrimination. So associating, we take this association. Why? You know, people may be, you know, doing something that we feel, yeah, you know, this is right. And then we do that. Sometimes we take into these positions of we have to, what appears to be unjust. And then we understand what justice is. And then we take a case to protect or to help. But if we don't have, especially if we
in general, when we have this childish mentality, we don't generally have the depth of the understanding of things. So with no depth of understanding, then we become vulnerable. So we're acting mostly out of sentiment rather than having this combination of a heart with knowledge or with discrimination. That power comes with maturity. So the idea is that it is very good and very important that we have that quality of extending ourselves, of being sympathetic, of being helpful. But when that is not being protected by knowledge, by maturity, by guidance, then it becomes, it can be, it's like this Vatsasura demon. We're vulnerable. And then bad association can come and can actually disturb our progress in devotional service. So therefore it's very important for most of us to pay attention when we receive warnings or when we receive guidance for those who are in positions of that has a much greater vision of how things are. There are certain things that I wish, we think now as adults, I wish I could have followed that advice that was given to me when I was a kid by the adults in my life. You know, I wish I could have, you know, done differently, because at this stage of my life, I still have to fix things that came from the choices that I have when I make choices, you know, in an immature way. And then, you know, then I have to deal with that even now, many, many years after. The abuses that some of us, at least I can talk for myself, the abuses that I did with my body in my youthful days, now I have to deal with them in terms of a disturbance in my body right now with toxins that are still sort of ingrained in my system. So all those type of things. So it will be naturally that if we have the fortune to be able to understand that, yeah, actually, I don't know everything. What appears to be an innocent calf is not a calf. It could be a demon. So I have to be I have to understand that this stage, these beginning stages of our learning Krishna consciousness, we have to be depending on our authorities, our superiors, and we should be sometimes, even if we don't understand, open to follow. And the principle of not understanding and follow is not necessarily that we are being told to be blind followers, or we've been told to question, to question until you understand. But the questioning is not in challenging mode. I know better and I'm trying to get you, you know, or I know better and I see that, you know, that type of challenging. But the questioning is in a submissive, or, you know, the, what Krishna says in the word, pariprasnena sevaya, which is, means with submission, with the inquiry, and with a mood of service. So that is where the safe space is. That's how Krishna comes and destroys this childish mentality, this Vatsasura demon within our heart, and save us for being possibly victimized for in these situations. Any comments or questions? Krishna Archana.
The analysis that you presented of the reliance on ego and the lack of discrimination that's there purely because of immaturity in the devotional path, that then permits one to be beguiled by individuals, let's put it in plural, who are presenting externally as innocent, but the motivations may be otherwise, means that, you know, on a broader level, the lack of discrimination then leads to actions being taken that are not actions that are conducive to the well-being of the broader community, because clearly any action affects everyone else. So when the situation is such that there's that complete inability to discriminate properly, and there's that blindness doesn't allow for even taking the guidance that's given, it can lead to chaotic situations, I would imagine. So I suppose the in some sense there's the question of how on earth does one assist in a situation where there is the lack of discrimination and there's reluctance to take guidance, because that's a complete impasse. It doesn't move anywhere. So I guess that's the question, you know, how does one penetrate that big wall that's there?
Well, in one sense, you know, like Prabhupada always encourage people to show by example. And in one sense too, many of us in our community, we are still dealing with this Kanishta. So some of us may be in more responsible position, and I'm still a Kanishta. So you're doing, you know, Kanishtas, dealing with Kanishtas. So that's the chaos. That's where the chaos come. And because you can be sympathetic of a Kanishta looking at another Kanishta and say, well, you know, there is some discrepancies with this guy, you know, and why should I trust this person? So it's a matter of trust. So, so what do we do individually? Well, you take shelter of Krishna. How you take shelter of Krishna? You have to follow what Krishna says. And Krishna says, through Srila Prabhupada, there's a structure. You submit to the structure. So even if the persons within the structure is, they may have flaws, you still take shelter of the structure, because it's, you're not necessarily taking shelter of individuals, but you're taking shelter of the instruction of your spiritual master. And within that instruction, they have to be protection. They have to, you know, Krishna comes and, you know, he may take care of your Vatsasura. Now, within that structure that Srila Prabhupada has given us, each one of us can receive Krishna to kill these demons. So we have to individually, not necessarily look of, oh, why should I trust this person? But actually, we trusting is Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is telling us, cooperate with that person. It's the structure that he gave. So we cooperate. So I say, well, my dear Prabhu, my dear Mataji, I completely disagree and I have these doubts. Why? Why this? Why that? You know, I don't understand. And the person may say, well, this is the reason why this and why that. You know, we blah, blah, blah. And I say, oh, I don't know if I can understand that. And then, well, what's the problem? You know, so you go into that, but it's with the purpose of understanding what the direction comes. And it could be a point that, okay, I don't understand where you're coming from, and I may still disagree, but my duty as per my spiritual master is to serve this person, is to serve this structure. And I do. That is an attitude that we've been trained for. And individually we have to do that. Regardless if the other persons around us are not doing it properly. We're not there to judge. We're not there to actually trying to necessarily fix this or fix that. Our duty is to follow, to clear ourselves. So we'll be examples. We show the example of how to show this cooperation and this, you know, this taking shelter of what Prabhupada has given us. So we cooperate. Is that, yeah. Anything else?
Yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your class. You made a lot of profound points, including answering Mother Krishna's Arjuna question. Same point that comes up, you know, that's most important, find fault with ourselves and not with others. And now you were also mentioning, let's see, you said you were thinking in the past you wish you had to follow, you know, and sometimes we regret sometimes that we wish we had to follow the advice of some superior in our past because we're suffering the reactions. You recall mentioning that? Mm-hmm. Yes. This brings to mind of something I was discussing with you yesterday, some points for inspiration, because I think sometimes, a lot of times, living in regret for most devotees can be we can remain stagnant in our Krishna consciousness when we live in regret. And there's one very beautiful quote, many, but one that says, Though no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. There's also a beautiful quote that says, the reason the rearview mirror is smaller than the windshield on your car is because what's in your past is not nearly as important as what's in your future. And we see if you're driving a car and you're absorbed in your rearview mirror, you're going to get in a car accident. The rearview mirror is necessary to be there in order to, make proper navigation. So sometimes when we look at our faults, it's not like we should be absorbed in them, but they keep us humble, actually. On the other hand, we see in the scriptures so many times, and also in our Christian consciousness, some obstacles we may have when we're feeling on a, when we're feeling holier than thou, when we're on a good streak, a good purity streak, maybe for 1 month, 2 months, or if even that much, we start to find fault with others. But the same analogy, just like Durvasa Muni, Devananda Pandit, Sobari Muni, they said, I have no rearview mirror. I'm a pure brahmachari, I'm faultless. But what happened? They were looking in a rearview mirror of other personalities. And we see if you look in a rearview mirror of somebody else, you'll also get in a car accident. So same principle. And so this reminds me of something Bhaktisiddhanta says. He says, this is from the Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. The chapter is called Guru and Disciple Interactions. And in that particular section, it describes that many of Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples were commenting on that Bhaktisiddhanta, some of the other Prabhus, they have many faults. They're prisoners of this material world. And Bhaktisiddhanta essentially said, this world is known as Durga, prison. Have you looked in the mirror? You're also shackled too. And so that reminds me of one quote by Buddha. He says, not the perversities of others, not their sins of commission or omission, but his own misdeeds and negligences should a sage take notice of. Apichet sudarachara bhajate mama nanyaba. Krishna says the same thing. We have our faults, but as long as we're looking at others' faults, we're not performing sadhana bhakti, we're performing fault-finding bhakti, and therefore we find no happiness. My last point, those are just some points you remind me of, but my real point is connecting to this verse. It mentions that when Krishna killed the demon, and it's kind of related to a prisoner analogy, one of my favorite ones. It says Krishna performed capital punishment on his demon. And so we see that we have demons and archers in our hearts. And when criminals escape from prison, they're going to cause havoc for all of human society. So sometimes when our anarchas, our criminals, our inner demons escape through our words and actions, it causes definitely harm for us and potentially harm for others depending on humility. And we see that in order for the government to keep criminals in, they hire security guards. And Prabhupada says the reason we should read these books is to not hire, but acquire the security guards. Yasyasti bhatir bhagavatiya kinchana sarve guna is tata samaste sodaha. To keep our negative qualities in. We keep pride in by acquiring humility, etc. So many polar opposite qualities. But my question is related to this point. Bhaktisiddhanta, in one article called Sri Guru Tattva and Seva, he says, real humility is never found in an external show of humility, which is actually mere duplicity. So in the material world, they have no security guards. They have no Bhagavatam to even get the impetus to shut their mouth. But as practicing devotees, the tendency is like, oh yes, I'll keep my mouth shut publicly and it's not recorded. But the tendency is that it's impossible to shut your mind off. Then when you shut your mind off, you're either speaking negative things in your thoughts or you're speaking negative things to people you trust, this and that behind people's back. And there's a nice quote that says, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, it becomes your habit. Watch your habit, it becomes your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. And that's what the Gita says. Yayato vishayam pumsa sangaste shubha jayate sangat sanjayate kamaha kama krodo vijayate krodha bhavati samoha samoha shriti vibramaha shriti brahmsha buddhinasho buddhinasha pranashati. Everything begins with dhyayato, our thoughts, and it usually ends with pranashati, degradation. So my question is, what are some steps we can move forward to develop the realizations that I'm not just keeping a, you know, shutting my mouth. I need to shut my mind, which is very difficult, but still we have no tendency to do that. Let me just relish these negative thoughts. But I've never seen anybody who relish negative thoughts look happy, like Durva Simone. So in the end, we're hurting ourselves. So what are some steps we can move forward to get the realization that actually, I may relish my negative thoughts. Even if Krishna doesn't punish us, I'm a punishment to myself. Every time I hear the name glorify, or if I hate somebody, I'm miserable. I cringe. And even if Lord, so what are some steps we can move forward to keep a lock on our thoughts? And what are some steps we can move forward to do that? And also to gain a realization, actually, if Krishna doesn't punish him, I'm the one who's miserable, not others.
I think thank you first for the class. I think this quote is from St. Francis of Assisi, that he said, every saint had a past and every sinner has a future. Is it Oscar Wilde? Well, whoever said it, I think it is wise. And one thing when we were young is, and I realized after I had my kids, that when we were adolescents, to begin with, adolescent comes from the Latin word adolescere, which means lack of. No, people that lack of synderesis, of discrimination, discerning properly what is good and what is bad. And in the process of growing up, we resent every authority, and we tend to try to identify ourselves, find our own identification as individuals. We want to be our own selves, not the shadow of our parents or any sense of authority. But when we grow, we understand, and when we said, like, oh, my dad, now that he's gone, he was right, or my mom, or whatever, or whoever. No, and we have to grow up in order to learn. A friend of mine used to say, to study and understand, we have to be old. Because when we were young, we were a disaster. Blessed the young. No, God bless the young. No, but it's a shame that youth is in the hands of the young. Yeah, because it is terrible. We don't have the capacity to discern. When we grow old is when we understand how important everything was said. So in the same thing, when we grow and we need a spiritual master, when we are understanding deeper and more abstract concepts, like spiritual concepts and things, we need anyway a spiritual master, somebody that has the knowledge, that has the moral authority, because knows everything and has lived everything, and in order for us to understand.
Is my thought. Okay, and just back to the question of Jai Baladev and then Jitendra Prabhu. One of the things that I've believe is very important, and is quite, it puts you in the position, or put us in the position of actually being able to come out or being able to advance, is that we understand that we have a problem. The difficulty is when we think we're right. There's no problem with me, there's a problem with you. Or, you know, you point someone else, you know. You don't understand. we usually have the situation, oh, this devotee doesn't understand. And we take sort of this position of trying to make people understand. You're missing it. It's very clear for me. It's very clear for me that this is right and you're seeing wrong. Like that. You don't understand me. And when we're in that, when we find that position, then it's very difficult to come out of that, you know. And but when we understand that actually I don't know a lot of things. I can figure it out. What appears to be right for me ended causing all this chaos around me, for myself and for others. So, you know, so then you get bewildered. You're supposed to be, you know, ta-dang, I'm like a hero. I'm being able to solve this situation. It's so clear for me. And at the end, it becomes this chaos. So when we get that bewilderment, Krishna does that to us a lot in devotional service. He shows, you know, that that we really didn't have it together. We're actually messing up. And that's when we become humble. And in that humble situation, in the humble position, when Krishna gives us or shows us that vulnerability that we have, then if we're fortunate, we start to understand, I have a problem. And if I have a problem, I have to change something in me, an approach. I have a particular way that I react to the world, and I know that that causes a problem for me. So I should make a conscious effort to try to stop what my conditioned reaction is to things. So I know I have to change my condition, because my condition is a problem. When I come to understand that I have a problem, then really we're in the process of becoming healthy. It may take time, because to change, you know, a condition, it takes work. But you start, you know, just by acknowledging that part. So we come to that position. I do have a problem, so I have to change. And I consciously start to try to change. And Krishna will help us. Jitendra Prabhu.
I remember some puffed up guy said, I thought I made a mistake, but that was a mistake. and then I think Prabhupada, they said, why are there only young people here? And Prabhupada said, the old people are, you know, they're just habituated to foolish behavior.
Yes.
And then he said, our life is wasted 25% on sleep, 25% on like eating, or, you know, and then 25% for frivolous activities, so there's really little time for self-realization. Those are a few things that came to mind, Prabhu.
Mm. Super quick, because it's almost 8:40.
Thank you, Prabhu. You reminded me of a profound point. You said we're conditioned. I should change the way I'm conditioned to react in a certain circumstance. And one thing that came to mind is that when we on social media, I find the jokes are very actually very funny, but they're all insulting. And we see movies are very insulting. Nobody's, because no movie will sell if everyone loves each other. A blockbuster film, you know, it didn't make $0 at the box office when people are treating each other with love, honor, and respect. So one reason why I try to be more serious about my Krishna consciousness is from an analogy of Buddha. He basically says, the more we develop spiritual life, the more we're going to be conditioned to those good qualities, those reactions, and the more we, you know, we all have a tendency to watch movies, this and that, but the more we do that, then we're going to naturally you know, react in those particular ways. So Buddha said a very nice quote. He says, "Let no man think lightly of evil, saying in his heart, it will not come upon me. Even by the falling of water drops, a water pot is filled. The fool becomes full of evil, even if he gather it little by little, by Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, movies, etc."
Yeah, that's a very nice one, Prabhu. Okay, thank you so much. Hagantarashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai.